A revelation not of St. John the Divine. The apocalypsis are the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when Christ came the first time, he came to be judged by the world and his Father. When he comes the second time, the judgment is going to be reversed. He's coming the next time to judge the world that judged him. And so we begin with a great supper in the 14th of Luke, and we go up to a great supper in the 19th chapter of the Revelation. The great judgment and the great and terrible and awful events in the book of Revelation are future. They have not come to pass as yet. The language is that they shall shortly come to pass. Even as the Apostle Paul said, a little while, and he that tarrieth will not tarry, but will come. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that was nearly 1900 years ago. But God doesn't seem to be in a hurry till he gets ready to wind up things. Then he gets in a hurry, and when he does it, it doesn't take long. In the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, notice, in the 16th verse, a certain man made a great supper. Now the word great occurs in the book of Revelation 72 times. There are 72 great things in the book of Revelation. Now if the Holy Spirit, the infallible Holy Spirit, used that word great 72 times in that book, that adjective means something. And you and I ought to read every one of them. I read every one of them again today. And I want to tell you, when you go through that book of Revelation, when you get out of it, you'll thank God that you're saved. But of course, 9 out of 10 sinners today are just like the sinners in the day when Noah was preaching. They paid no attention to him. But I remember one man said this, I'll guarantee if you'd have been near there, every sinner that possibly could get out of the water was holding on to that ark and asking Noah to let him in. Because that's the very picture we have in the book of Luke. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, that people will be knocking and trying to get in. Millions of sinners will try to be saved after the curtain has gone down and the door is closed. But they don't pay any attention to it now. What they're after now is a Cadillac or a Lincoln or a house and all of the fineries and everything. The curse of this age today is materialism as well as rationalism. In every age of material prosperity, there's been a very low ebb of spiritual life. That's always been true. The things of this world. Did you know that 86% of the people who've been saved as children or in adversity, never when they're prospering. Very few who are prospering physically and materially ever turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're more like the Irishman that was in the shipwreck. And he was over on a piece of the timber and the waves were hitting him and it hit him in the face. And he looked up and he said, God, you know, in the time of peace, I never called on you. But I'm in terrible trouble right now. And if you can see your way clear to help me out of this, I'll promise never to bother you again. That's when people turn to the Lord, when they're in trouble. Notice. He says in the 16th verse, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now the great man is God the Father. The great supper here is called in Hebrews 2:2, the great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape what? How shall we escape what is in the book of Revelation if we fail to meet God at Calvary and have our guilty souls washed in the blood of the Lamb? I said this many times, and any rational person of very ordinary intelligence knows this. It isn't a question of your saying, I do not believe it, but you do know this, that the Bible clearly teaches that for every individual on this earth, it is either the cross of Calvary or the white throne judgment in the lake of fire. If you do not meet Jesus Christ on the cross, you'll meet him on the white throne judgment. If you do not respond to his invitation, come unto me and I will give you rest, you'll have to hear him say, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I didn't write this book, but I want to be true to this book. If the book is in error, I'm going down to eternity with the error. And my mistake will not be so great, the blunder, not be so serious. But if it is true, and you go down not believing and heeding this book, then you're going to be in an awful predicament, according to God's word. He sent his servant at supper time. Now, when was supper time for you and for me? The Apostle Paul said that God will have all men to be saved. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Our due time was not on the day of Pentecost. Our due time was not when Peter was preaching to the twelve tribes. After the 12 tribes were set aside and the Apostle Paul was sent forth, then supper time was for you and for me, and God tells us in Acts 14:27 that he opened up a door of faith unto the Gentiles. It was opened up back there. And supper time is right now, and it's been here ever since the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. And you'll notice what he says here. He says, come, for all things are now ready. Many religious people think that they have to do something. What would you think of a very rich lady, a high and high social standing, would give a wonderful feast and a banquet? And she'd had everything spread on the table, the finest. And the people would come to the door, and this one would have a hot dog, and this one would have a hamburger sandwich. And this one would have some bread, and this would have something else. Well, I just thought I'd come in. Perhaps you wouldn't have enough. Now, that's the way many religious people do. God says, come, for all things are now ready. If you want to be ready, all you have to do to be ready is to acknowledge that you're an ungodly, hell-deserving sinner for whom Christ died. And that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He said, come, for all things are now ready. Now, notice what he said. This is a great supper. It's a wonderful supper. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first man said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and when the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant. Now, this is the greatest blunder that any human being ever made, to refuse God's invitation to the great supper. It required the very best that God had. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever asked yourself what was in the heart of Almighty God when his Son was dying on that cross, when he was numbered with 2 murderers and thieves, one on either side, when the Son went behind the clouds and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What do you suppose was in the mind and the heart of Almighty God, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ as no one ever loved another? He said, Father, thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world, but thou also lovest me because I'm going to lay down my life to save sinners. Then he raised him from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification, and the Holy Spirit was sent. And the Lord said, go out and tell them they can be saved by grace, no matter how they've gone into sin or how far. If they'll just receive Christ in Calvary, meet me at Calvary, believe that he was delivered for their offenses and raised again for their justification, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, I'll save them. Come, for all things are now ready. Did you ever go through the Bible and read the invitation, come? Ever since Adam went in the garden, got behind the tree when he sinned, and God said, Adam, where art thou? He's been saying to sinners for 1900 years in this age, and 4000 years before, sinner, where are you? Are you hiding from God? He's saying, come out of your hiding place, and I'll give you a real hiding place that'll hide you from the wrath to come. All right, let's go to the 19th chapter of the Revelation. Now we read here the great supper of God. Now we read of the supper of the great God. And the book of Revelation comes in between. In the great supper and the supper of the great God. In the 19th of the Revelation. May I right here refer to some of the 72 great things. The great voice, four times the great tribulation, the great sword, five times the great earthquake, the men who think they're great, the great day of God's wrath, the great multitude hiding from the wrath of the Lamb, a great mountain, a great star, a great furnace of heat, the great river Euphrates, five great cities, all of the cities are doomed to destruction. You know the first city that man ever inhabited was built by a murderer? It was built by Cain who killed his brother. And if you go through the history of the Bible, as well as what we call secular history, you find out that God had to destroy every city that man ever built because of S-I-N, sin. There are over 500 cities mentioned in the Bible. Where are they? What became of them? Every single one of them was destroyed by God's wrath. And the only city that's going to endure is going to be the great city. When we get to the closing chapters of Revelation, it's called the Great Jerusalem. But five times we read of Great Babylon. Now, Babylon means confusion. And this world is civilization is headed toward a threefold Babylon. We call it economic, a commercial Babylon, and political Babylon, and the worst of all, religious Babylon. What a condition this world is in today religiously. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of preparing a place, one of the disciples said, Lord, how can we know the way? With 280 different denominations today, and the bickering and the contention and division and lack of unity in the churches, we wonder why, what will be the answer when the sinner says, with all of this, how can we know the way? And I'm so glad for the answer that Christ gave. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the way. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am. 21 times he uses that title, I am, as the great Jehovah. Now notice, there's a great city, as we said. Then the people are filled with great fear. Then there five times we read of a great voice. And then we read of great power. Then we read of a great hailstorm. Then we read of a great wonder seen in the heavens. And then we read of a great red dragon, the devil. And then we read again of God's great wrath. Great wonders. Great thunder. Great and marvelous things, great heat, the great day of God Almighty. We're going to read that in the 16th chapter after we read here in the 19th chapter of the Revelation. Now after the Lord has given his great judgment upon Babylon and the woman who's called the whore, in the 19th of Revelation, he said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Here's something that people do not believe. For true and righteous are his judgments. Some time ago, I was called to the hospital to talk to a man who was dying. I had told that man about the Lord Jesus Christ a number of times, but he paid no attention to it. The doctor told him he couldn't get well. Somebody asked him if he'd let me talk to him about the Lord. And he said no. The next day he was improving. He said, tell Mr. O'Hare he may come down and talk to me. So when I got down there, a half hour before he got there, the doctor told him he'd taken a turn for the worse. And he says, you're not going to get well. If you want to talk to that preacher, you talk to him. I walked in and he said, get out of here. Get out of here. I said, you sent for me. Yes, I sent for you when I thought I was going to get well. But I don't want to have anything to do with a God that will let a man like me die here. He says he's not giving me a fair deal. And he cursed God. And he rejected the message and he died there as an unbeliever. But remember, God says, holy and righteous are his judgments. Every judgment of God will be a righteous judgment. God is a just God. God's never made a mistake. But God must be a just God before he can be merciful. And it's only because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and vindicated the righteousness and the holiness of Almighty God, that God can be just and the justifier of everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now there's a verse in Revelation that explains what many waters mean. And the verse is very clear, and it says, many waters mean the voices of many people and many nations. Because the waters represent, like the mountains represent nations in the book of Revelation, the waters represent the people who make up the nation. And notice what he says. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many diadems, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Very interesting story to read from the great sword in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, the Revelation, the 4th verse, up to this sword that's going out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Satan is not afraid of all the swords and all the bombs and all of the implements of war. There's only one thing that Satan's afraid of, and that's the word of God rightly divided. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, when you're against Satan. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, the sharp sword went out of his mouth with which he should smite the nation. That's what he used when Satan took him up in the mountain and tempted him. And he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Every time Satan tempted the Lord, he took out his sword and he said, it is written. I told about, there was a lady who came in here some time ago, and she said, I have a problem. She said, I lived a very ungodly life, miserable life before I was saved. Said, now every time I get down to pray and I want to make love to the Lord and worship Him, all those dirty things that I learned when I was young come right in my mind. And she says, I'll be right in the midst of my prayer and communion with the Lord, and the dirtiest thoughts that you ever thought of came into my mind. How am I going to get rid of them? Said, I've been saved from those things, but I can't get rid of them. And I told her what Mr. Haynes told me. Haynes said, I've been all over this country. He said, I've met many people like that. And he said, I tell him this, I know, Satan, what you're doing. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, every time I've ever done that, Satan has left me. And every person to whom I've given that, that's what you read here. When it says this great red dragon is coming down to this earth, and because he knows his time is short, he will come with great wrath. Think of Satan being permitted to come down on this earth as the red dragon with great wrath. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they counted not their lives dear unto death. They were willing to be put to death for the Lord, and they gave their testimony. And the only way you can ever overcome Satan is God's way. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, by putting on also the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice what he says. He says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on the thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Here's the great supper of God in the 14th of Luke. Oh, what a contrast. Here are all the great men and the animal flesh and the things of this earth to be destroyed by the wrath of God, and is called the great, or the supper of the great God. Listen to what it says here. He says, and he had on his vesture, his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bonds, both small and great. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped him. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. We come into the next chapter and we find a great chain. The angel of the Lord is chaining Satan with a great chain, and he puts him in the bottomless pit. And then he sets up a great white throne. Now we have in Hebrews 2:2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? 9 out of 10 people will escape these awful things in the book of Revelation till you get to the 20th chapter. Not one will escape that. Only the people that are in the great tribulation will experience some of these things, but every single sinner who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this time of peace, in this nation of ours where we have so many blessings. They will have to meet God at the white throne judgment. And that's what the Lord means. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So you begin in the sixth chapter of Revelation. You have a white horse, you have a red horse, you have a black horse, and you have a pale horse. Then you have a great tribulation. Then you have all the chief captains, the rich and the poor, the employer and the employee, all gathered together in the greatest prayer meeting that will ever be held on this earth. Will be held when capital and labor get together. They're going to get together, but it's going to be too late. In the sixth of Revelation, right after the great tribulation, in the midst of the great tribulation and the great earthquake, they're all praying and they see the Lord Jesus Christ up there and they say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and the one that sits on the throne. And they're hiding in the caves and the rocks. You go home and study these 72 great things. I want to tell you, you'll come back as the Lord told his 70 disciples who said, oh, Lord, it's wonderful. We went out and cast out demons and we healed the sick. And even Satan's messengers were subject to us. He said, that's wonderful. But above all of that, he says in Luke 10:18-22, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Then you rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Because you've been saved, because God visited his wrath on his Lamb, you can be saved from the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God.